Amen. Good morning, English Oaks. Good morning, Pastor Bob. Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made," but then there's a response. So we're supposed to do something. So let us do what? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hope you have a joyful heart today. It's a short week with Labor Day, but take a minute to think back on your week and share with your neighbor, how did your week go? On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate your week on a scale of 1 to 10? Give them a number. Are you happy at Sabbath today? Number? Some of you aren't sure about that number. So first of all, I want to thank you for allowing this education Sabbath and for celebrating teachers and all of us who work with young people and students. On behalf of my colleague Allie, who a week ago today had no idea, both of these losses were very short notice, his sister first and then his mother within 48 hours. The service today for Allie and his family is going to be in Yountville at 4 o'clock. So after potluck, my wife and I are going to go there. My mom lives in Yountville, and little did we know 1 week ago today that my mother was going to be a wallmate to Allie's father, who yesterday moved into the Yountville Retirement Estates, into one of the units right next door to my mom. So how much can quickly change in a week? Isn't it true? We just never know. We shouldn't take anything for granted. So thank you for your warm welcome. I'd like to begin by just saying my wife Nancy and I would like to thank you for this warm welcome we have received from the Lodi community here from our old church. We were members here at English Oaks, and that's what our family used to look like back then. 1988, when we moved here, we came as three, my oldest daughter Jessica, but when we left, there were four of us for some reason. Jana was born at Lodi Memorial Hospital, and this is a picture at Lodi Lake. Some of you have been out there, Lodi Lake, and Jessica's wearing some boots. So in a minute, I'm going to refer to those boots, my wife Nancy. But just thank you for the warm welcome that you've given to us as God has brought us back to this community. Here's a thorn among some roses. This is my family today. My daughters, Jessica is now 26, her husband Nathan. They live in Loma Linda, and Jana's 24. So those of you with little children, it goes quickly. I was here for baby dedication a few weeks ago, and it was right here where little Jana was dedicated at the English Oaks Church when the grandmas and grandpas and dear friends came for that event. Some of them are no longer with us in this life. And then this was a celebration in June, my son-in-law's graduation from Loma Linda University from medical school. You know, we are richly blessed with the vision of having a system of schools. And one of the pieces of that puzzle for many of us, we have met our spouses along the way who hold the same values. And my daughter and Nathan, they met at PUC, where Nancy and I also met. Okay, this is not a wedding picture. This is not a graduation picture. This goes a few weeks later into July when we moved here, and we received a very, very warm welcome and met some new friends and some neighbors. Some brought lemonade. There were actually about a dozen who helped us move in that day, and I'm sorry the picture doesn't have everybody, but met some old students, reacquainted with some old friends, some new friends. And I'm really sorry that I don't see Vern here today, but Vern Holthouse, I'm going to give him a special treat. You know, a lot of you look good, really good, but Vern takes the cake. Vern receives my award for the most well-preserved, and I have a strawberry preserves. He has not changed in 23 years since we left. So Vern, this is for you, and we'll be sure that you get that. Amazing how he's combated the anti-aging process. let's begin again with a short word of prayer. You know, this is, you guys, I tell you, talk about a little pressure, you know? Let's ask the Lord to be here. Dear Father, this morning in your house, I pray that this day and this message, you will be seen through different stories or different parts of what is shared, that your spirit will be present, that it will not be about me or any one of us that are up here, but that you may be present. So touch our hearts today, Lord. We ask this and invite your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. With an education Sabbath, I titled my message, Following Jesus, Our Master Teacher. Here's an artist's rendition of him with his disciples. Maybe you've heard this particular experience. When Jesus took his disciples up the mountain and gathering them around him, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they who thirst for justice. Blessed are you when persecuted. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are you when you suffer. Be glad and rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven." And then Simon Peter said, "Do we have to write this stuff down? Can I borrow a pencil?" And James said, "Will this be on the final exam?" And John said, "I'm sorry, could you repeat number 4? And Matthew said, "Can I go to the bathroom?" And Andrew said, "Well, John the Baptist's disciples don't have to learn this stuff." And Judas said, "What does this have to do with real life?" And then one of the Pharisees of the law, an expert in the law, said, "I don't see any of this in your syllabus or course outline. Where are your lesson plans and your learning objectives?" And then Thomas, who had missed the sermon, came to Jesus privately and said, "Did we do anything important yesterday?" And Jesus wept. You know, we smile at the disciples in this little story, but sometimes I wonder if we aren't doing a lot of the same things. Do we miss the real message, the essence of who Jesus is and who he wants us to be as we are his disciples and servants? When he said, "Follow me," no, I'm not talking about Twitter. I literally want you to follow me. Not with 50% of our lives, not with 70 or 75 or even 90. He wants us to surrender each and every piece and part of our lives to him. I remember making that surrender when I was a sophomore in academy, and the peace that I felt that Friday night when I came out, looked up in the stars, felt very close to him, surrendered my whole being to him, and that peace touched me, the peace that passes understanding. Maybe some of you have felt it too. I've never felt it as strong since or as deeply as I did at that moment, but I instantly knew what that Bible text was talking about. A few weeks ago, Pastor Bob was talking to me about this message, and he said, "Tell stories. Tell stories." Jesus told lots of stories and parables, and he wants me to tell stories. So you can blame Pastor Bob today if you hear a lot of stories, and it's his fault. But the first story I want to tell you, okay? I'm coming back to those boots. Remember those little boots that Jessica was wearing? Did you hear about the kindergarten teacher who was helping one of her kindergartners put on the boots? She pulled and pulled while he pushed and pushed, and they struggled. The boots did not want to go on. Finally, they got the second boot on after much effort, and the boy looked up and said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." Sure enough, she looked down, went through almost the same difficult process to get the boots off of the feet, and it wasn't any easier. Finally, got them switched, and they began going through the same process. She pushed and pushed, and he pulled, and the teacher managed to keep her cool, and they got the boots on the right feet. And then the little boy looked down and announced, "They're not my boots." So once again, the teacher really bit her tongue, went back to work to take off the boots one more time. Sure enough, they managed to get the boots off. Then the little boy announces, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them today." The teacher didn't know whether to laugh or to cry, but she went back to work, putting those boots back on one more time. They struggled and struggled, got the boots on, thought it was all done. She looked around and said, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "Oh, I put them in the toes of my boots." You know, sometimes teachers, especially you at the elementary level, but we each have our own burdens to bear with our students, our wonderful students that bring us so much joy and energy and enthusiasm. But patience, teachers must be paragons of patience. And you know, we're human just like everybody else, and it's not always that easy balancing teaching accountability, teaching responsibility, and yet offering grace at the same time. And so I also want to apologize to some of you, my former students, for bearing with a green, gung-ho PE teacher about 23 years ago who may have made some of his mistakes. But life teaches us as we move forward. Think about how many hours teachers spend with your children, with my children, with our children. You think about it. Average day, let's take 6 hours. Now, I know in elementary, they usually stay in the same homeroom, move around in academy. But 6 hours a day, give or take 5 days a week, what's that, 30 hours for a week. You have 36 weeks in a school year. There goes over 1,000 hours a year that a teacher is spending with your child, your son or daughter. And then you multiply that by 12 years or more, and you have 12,960 hours by the time a student graduates from 12th grade, or the equivalent of 540 solid 24-hour time periods. That is a lot of time that teachers have to influence the lives of children, isn't it? It absolutely is mind-boggling. And so it's critical, really critical, who your teachers are. I picked a few quotes. I love quotes. When I taught history for many years, I would use quotes. Tom Brokaw reminds us about teachers that it's easy to make a buck, but it's much harder to make a difference. What sculpture is to a block of marble, education is to the human soul. Here's a few more quotes. The mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, and the great teacher inspires. William Arthur Ward is attributed with that quote. Great teachers can inspire. And so our master teacher, Jesus, the inspiration of all things. Now, some of you laughed. I know one of you read this, but teacher, why are you talking during my lesson? Student, why are you teaching during my conversation? We do deal with sometimes different levels of students. Here's another one. Teacher, this is a quick-thinking student. Where is your homework? Student, I lost it fighting this kid who said you weren't the best teacher in the school. Quick-thinking student, wasn't he? The best teachers teach from the heart, not from the book. The older I get, the smarter my teachers become. Allie Carter said that. Here's one for you teachers. You may not see the fruit of today's work, but you have seeded a lifetime of knowledge. We may not see the fruits, teachers, of your labors until the kingdom, but maybe may there be students and children in the kingdom because of your efforts. Martin Luther King said that intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. And last, one of my favorites, William Butler Yeats said that education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. You don't just fill up a pail or a head with knowledge, it's the lighting of a fire. It's the beginning of inspiration, and many of our students go on to many different things, great things. Here's a story of a student who was sleeping in class. Now, that never happens. And the teacher said, you know, you can't sleep in my class. And the student said, yeah, but maybe if you talked a little softer, I could. And there was another student, same class, I'm guessing. The teacher says, "Billy, wake up your neighbor." And Billy said, "You put him to sleep, you wake him up." Hopefully you don't need to apply that on any of your neighbors this morning. But what a teacher writes on the blackboard of life can never be erased. So following our master teacher, I want to boil down a simple message to 3 points, focusing on Jesus, not just as a master teacher's example, but for each and every human being's example. His preparation for life, especially as a teacher, we know that preparation is critical to the day. His prayer time, that was his power source. He often withdrew to enter into prayer. Sometimes his disciples fell asleep while he entered into prayer. He had a deep connection to his Father, and that's where it all begins. The rest of the day follows. Second point is his character was one of humility and service, and that he is our example. He is our master teacher and our master example of humility and service, showing love with skin on it. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus was addressed many times, over 90 times, but more than two-thirds of those times he was referred to as rabbi or teacher. And so the emphasis on teacher, and yet he had no classroom, as we would consider it a classroom. He never went to Jerusalem University, didn't have a college degree or a teaching credential. I often wonder what it would be like today to have him come to our schools, to our churches. He mastered storytelling, his methods, using stories, parables, things that people could relate to, and he constantly treated people with respect. He went where people were to meet with them and meet their needs. At the time of somebody's need is when you can make the biggest impact, at the time of moving. His character. Here's a story for you, Pastor Bob. A pastor was building a deck, and every day he noticed a little boy in the neighborhood was coming and watching him build this deck. And the pastor watched, bemused, and the little boy watched everything intently. Finally, the pastor said to him, "Are you watching me so you can learn how to build a deck?" Little boy says, "No, I'm watching to hear what kind of words a pastor says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." It's intimidating to stand up as a fellow human being and deliver a sermon. And pastors, God has given you that conviction and calling. It's also difficult to stand up and teach a Bible class. I found it to be the most difficult 5 days a week to stand in front of students representing God and all of the good things. And so I share this short poem with you, which you might have heard, called "When You Thought I Wasn't Looking." In 1980, a lady wrote this for her mother, and it applies to teachers, it applies to parents, it applies to all of us. "When you thought I wasn't looking, you hung my first painting on the refrigerator, and I wanted to paint another. When you thought I wasn't looking, you fed a stray cat, and I thought it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, you baked a birthday cake just for me, and I knew that little things were special things. When you thought I wasn't looking, you said a prayer, and I believed there was a God, and I could always talk to him. When you thought I wasn't looking, you kissed me goodnight, and I felt loved. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, you smiled, and it made me want to look that pretty too. When you thought I wasn't looking, you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked. And I want to say thanks for all those things you did when you thought I wasn't looking. It's not what we say. It's not what Jesus, only what he said. It's what he did, how he treated people that made the difference. I'd like to give you a little snapshot of some things happening, some opportunities that we are trying at the elementary school, at Lodi Academy, and other Christian schools. We are trying to present our students with opportunities for service. So I'm going to ask my assistants in the back to go ahead and try that phone call and see if we can make that connection. We're going to dial in to a group that's in the heart of San Francisco right now. We have 25 people serving in ministry in the heart of San Francisco. Pastor Scott Ward, Janine Little, our Bible teacher and chaplain, Pastor Tracy Berg, a total of 5 adults with 20 young people. 15 of those are students. And there we are in the back, right? Trying to connect with Pastor Scott. He's waiting for us about noon. They're going to give us a little snapshot, a mission spotlight of ministry that's happening right now. When you thought we weren't looking, huh? Be careful back there because so we'll try to connect with Pastor Scott. Pastor Scott. Happy Sabbath.
I'm here with Pastor Little and Pastor Tracy and a bunch of kids.
Happy Sabbath.
Good morning. Your parents are watching some of you. How's it going in San Francisco? What are you doing there?
All right, we got some kids who are going to talk to you.
Ben's right here.
We've been
doing all
kinds of things.
Alyssa?
Hey, Alyssa.
Okay, this has been an eye-opening experience for me. Like, I just thought we were going to pass out food, but we're witnessing people and praying for them, and I love it. I didn't think I'd feel this way about it, but I want to come back.
Thank you, Alyssa. Sierra?
This experience has been a lot different. I thought it would be a lot more awkward coming here because me and homeless people are a lot different, but it has been really inspiring. I've met so many awesome and amazing people, and I'd love to come back.
Hi.
Taylor?
It's been pretty awesome here. A lot different than I expected. YWAM makes it possible to go up to these people and get on their level and see how they feel. It's amazing the perspectives that they have, and that we can help them, and God can bless them through us. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Pastor Little, you want to say anything?
It's been an incredible experience for everybody. Yeah, we've had a lot of fun. We've also stretched ourselves to start conversations with people who we would normally ignore and had the opportunity to be blessed by them as well.
Pastor Tracy?
We'd like to thank all of you for praying for us, and we're having a great time being in the hands of feet of Jesus here in San Francisco. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you. Pastor Scott?
Yeah, it's just really cool when we can all team up together. You know, both of our churches, our Academy kids, we're all out here as our Lodi community, our Lodi family of faith, and tremendous support from the school, and we're going to do this regularly, right?
Amen. Yes.
Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
All right, homeless stack lunch ministry. We're going to go share some lunch with people.
Lunch ministry next. Thank you. Let's hear it for our technical team to make that happen. Praise the Lord. This is a snapshot of some of what happens in some of our schools, and I believe that mission and service opportunities are where students have the ability for life-changing inspiration in a very concentrated way. So thank you for your ongoing support of our schools. This was yesterday. 23 seniors were if you haven't seen our sign, how many of you have seen that sign? Somebody told me yesterday, oh, do you have a sign? We've had a sign, and this is it. It's on the stretch of Kettleman Highway 12 before you get to Highway 5. So you go out of town, and you will see Lodi Academy. And we took a busload of 23 seniors, 6 adults, and we went yesterday to clean up our community. We collected, every single senior was part of this. All 23 were there for the entire morning. And we collected 47 bags of trash and stacked them up in our stretch of highway. We do this on a regular basis, 4 times a year, Adopt a Highway. Our next one is October 21. It's always helpful to have more adults and volunteers. If you can help us with a crew of students, that would be wonderful. I'm going to ask Mr. Larson, would you please come up? And there's a mic right there. Mr. Larson, thank you for what you do at Lodi Academy. You're going to talk to us a little bit about something called the Senior Yosemite Experience. Why do you do this?
When you get 23 kids to come to school dressed to work and go out on a highway and pick up junk and trash and dirty, smelly things, you're having a number 10 week. You really are. As the senior class goes, they say so does the school year. And we are having a great year. It really kicked off. And what better way to kick it off than to take the senior class to Yosemite, camping for all, what was it, 4 or 5 days? It's a great experience. And you're wondering, well, what do? The first week of school going off to Yosemite? Well, as the senior class goes. And so it's a chance to bond with them. It's a chance to have them bond with one another. It's a chance to have worships. Our worships this year were themed for looking ahead, not to just tomorrow, next week, but in life. We have a group problem activities that we have them do for them to solve, develop some leadership. And Pastor Scott Ward conducts a life, what do I call it here? Spiritual gifts activity, and it helps them realize that they have things that they have talents in that they can use in life, and also that they look at ways that they will be able to lead at our school through the school year. We also conduct a stretching activity, just a little stretching activity. It's a chance for the students to realize that they can do more physically than they ever dreamed. Most of the students have never walked more than, 3-4 miles in one stretch. Some of them 10, but none of them 18 until our trip.
This is the top of Clouds Rest. The elevation is 9,926 feet. You're looking down on Half Dome. You're looking down on Yosemite Valley. We got 22 teenagers, one was sick. We got them up at 5:30 in the morning on Friday, loaded the bus, drove over to Tenaya Lake, and hiked 6.6 miles to get to the top of Clouds Rest. Here's Mr. Larson with some of the happy seniors, happy to be on top of the world on a beautiful day. What did we do after that?
Well, we went to the valley floor.
From there.
And it was a great trip. I do have to report that we had some problems. And nobody usually likes to talk about problems. I consider problems as opportunities. Opportunities to teach, opportunities to learn. How many of the parents here, and for sure their grandparents, know that through your errors of judgment, you probably learned some of your most valuable lessons? I have. Amen. And this trip was no different, as most of our trips are. We have little problems, they are teaching opportunities, and I'm happy to report, Mr. Kubrak, I am positive that we are off for a number 10 school year, a great school year with a great senior class, and a great school year.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Larson, for representing all the teachers and those behind the scenes, others that cook for that trip and make that trip happen. But Mr. Larson's not the senior sponsor this year, yet he has, with Mr. Borton and others, year after year, led this amazing opportunity for our students. 2 weeks ago, this was our sanctuary as we preached on the top of Sentinel Dome. This is a hike going down from Sentinel Dome towards Glacier Point. Okay, I have a few students, and thank you for having the students involved in picking up the offering, and I'd like to invite three of our sophomores up at this time. So come on up, Jesse, Chandler, William, let's help them get up here. Okay, thanks for helping me with this, guys. I wanted you to tell them a little bit about Napa Christian School. Where did we go, and why did we go there first? Who's first? Why did we go over to Napa about 2 weeks ago?
Okay. Well, as you all know, Napa had an earthquake two weeks ago Thursday. We went over there for community service and helped them clean up. And we split up in groups, and the teachers assigned us jobs. And me and Jesse were in a group, and we helped out the PE teacher at the gym. So we cleaned that up. That was one of the rooms. Everything was all messy, and we just helped them clean up and make everything tidy again.
This is the music room. They had these gorilla shelves, all their instruments everywhere. Mr. Tan, all their instruments and paperwork everywhere. And if you took a room in your house and shook it and threw everything into the middle, even though we were there for a day, they still had a lot of work to do after. Chandler, what did you think? Was it what you expected? Who's that guy?
Oh, yeah, that's me. And in that room, I think that was the music room. So basically in there, all the plaster and all the ceiling stuff fell down, and we had to vacuum all that up. And
One inch at a time, we went over that entire floor, sometimes on our hands and knees. Do you do this at home? You vacuum at home, inch by inch? Sorry, I put you on the spot there. What did you take away from, was it what you expected when we went over to help our sister school? They had to close their school for this entire week. They could not have classes. And when we heard in a time of need, we could take our sophomore class. Seniors had just been gone for 3 days to Yosemite, so we took 29 sophomores for the day. What did you take away from it?
It was a really good experience because we were helping all those people, and there was a lot more people who came to help them, and it would have been a lot harder if there was just them.
You had to feel sorry for those teachers one at a time in their rooms with chaos around them. And how about you? Did you feel anything? You want to add anything, Jesse? What did you think of the whole adventure? Was it what you expected? And thank you for helping.
I don't know. It felt different compared to the regular type of community service you have to do, because the regular community service, you are required to go. It's a required school day. If you don't go, you miss a day of school. But with this one, you chose to go on your own behalf, and that felt a bit better than the regular kind of community service.
Thank you for helping in the time of need, and who knows when it could be us that need help from our community. Thank you, boys, and for your spirit and willing to come up. How are we doing on time, Pastor Bob? What time do I ring the bell? Rings what time? Okay. I want to read this from a gentleman in our community. We didn't go to Napa to get publicity, to get put on the front page of the paper, but that was what happened. We went to Napa to help. They needed help. We went because it was the right thing to do. And Pat Patrick sent me this and wanted me to read it to the students. He is the president and CEO of the Lodi Chamber of Commerce. And he says this to you, students. The day the students went to Napa is a day they sacrificed their own time out of their daily pursuits to help those in great need. Today, Lodi Academy is a shining example of community spirit, helping others in need, giving of one's own self to better the lives of others. Well done, students. All of you make Lodi very proud. Well done, sophomore class. Without you, we couldn't have done that. I couldn't have done that. It was you, the students, who were there helping do that. In Ephesians, we read how some have different gifts. And as I've read this in the past, he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. But what I really didn't notice as clearly until I read it this time is what comes right after that. What is the purpose of him equipping all these different types of people? And here is the purpose: to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Are we working together to reach unity, or are we sometimes more focused on our part of the puzzle and how maybe it's not quite, your part isn't quite what it should be? Ellen White visited Lodi and at least three different occasions. Lodi in 1908 started as the Lodi Normal School, which is what they called them back then. And when she wrote and spoke in 1909, this particular time, she asked this question: why do we have schools separate from the schools of the world? It is that our youth may receive an education in right lines. And that's it in a nutshell, that we have a higher purpose. She goes on and says that they may understand what is involved in the great sacrifice that has been made on behalf of fallen humanity. The text that we read for the offering: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A few more comments from Ellen White's visit to our community. She said, "You will doubtless have difficulties to meet, but these difficulties are allowed to come to you that by overcoming them you may be strengthened to take up the work of God. There is missionary work to be done by everyone connected with this school. Let everyone feel that this school in Lodi is to be an example of what all our schools should be. That this may be so, let the students remember that their conduct must be of the right order." I'm going to close with a story. And this is a story that has been over 25 years in the telling. And I don't want it to be about necessarily the people, just how God works behind the scenes, how God connects the dots. My first year in academy, as a young, green, excited, eager beaver teacher — it wasn't here in this community, it was at a school in Southern California. First year, new school, and unbeknownst to me, there was a young man in that school, a student. It's what our schools are there for, students. Here he was, came from a home situation that was difficult for him. And he did not grow up in that community. It was hard for him to fit into that school community. Had a difficult home situation in some ways and had a lot of anger. So this student's name was Rick. And little did I know that by being friendly, talking to him, that he would come back into my life 25 years later and tell this story. He told me a few weeks ago. He said, "Do you remember the first day we met?" I said, "Well, help me remember that experience." He said, "Elder Baldwin brought me up to your classroom, and I started hanging out there. We would sometimes go to lunch, we would hang out, we'd get involved, we went on a mission trip." And little did I know that this student who would come in sometimes at lunchtime or just hang out, Rick, the rest of the story, well, he told me a few weeks ago. He said, I had a gun in my locker, and I had a plan, and I was going to take my own life. This is before Columbine. This is back in a day when a very discouraged young man didn't see a lot to live for, and God had brought me into his life. And I just want to invite one of my friends up at this time. Sir, this is a big, and I mean big, fan of the Oakland Athletics. And sir, would you tell us your name and why I asked you to come up?
My name is Rick Shepherd. I'm that team.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Rick, I really didn't want this to be about me or you or us, but there's got to be a reason why God has lined up these things. And you told Nancy and I something about our little girl. You know, we started our family down there in Newbury Park where you were a student. And little did I know that by having you come over and hang out, the difference that it was making for you. What was it you told us about?
Well, I had nothing to, really, I didn't think I had anything to live for. So at one point, his daughter Jessica was born. Nancy let me hold her, one of the first students to get to hold her. And at that point, I realized there was something for me to live for. God wanted me to be something, and that was be a father.
You desire to be a father at that moment, and has that come true for you? That gave you a reason?
Yes, it has. I have two wonderful girls who are sitting out here at the moment.
And thank you for being vulnerable and coming up and sharing where you were at. What would you want to say to anybody who feels that life's dark? You know, there may...
We all hit our lows, but those lows just give us the highs. The moments that I've had holding your daughter, holding my daughter Catherine, holding my daughter Morgan, are the highlight, some of the highlights. And we hit those lows, and the song says, it's not because I'm weak, I'm getting stronger. Those moments make us stronger. Those moments have made me be the man I am today. And we all battle our demons, and he's the one that gives us the power. I mean, it's not me. This story isn't mine. This story isn't Tim's. This story is his.
Amen. Thank you. He told me that this is not our story, it's for God's glory. And that's when you said you wanted a story. Thank you, Rick. You know, God brought you back into my life at a time when I needed some affirmation, and you were there to help and share a story that brought tears to my eyes. Jesus, our master teacher, he sets the example for us. And it's not about what we teach as teachers in the classroom. It's the life we live and our connection with him in and out of the classroom, in the home. And that goes for each and every one of us. Jesus said, in summing up, he said that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In closing, in one of those talks Ellen White gave here in Lodi, she says this, from the home, the school, and the church, a holy influence is to go forth. The grace of Christ is to be received into the life and revealed in the character. Heavenly Father, as we are here in your house, may we be your humble and faithful servants. We don't know those people around us, how you are calling us to just be your hands and feet, to be an encourager. May we work together, Lord, in this community. May we work together as home, school, church. And may your presence be seen in us. Continue to Watch over our schools, Lord. Satan's doing battle there. There is spiritual warfare going on for souls. And may we firmly come down on your side, and may your spirit be present on our campuses. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.